This is the I Love Success podcast. I'm Peter Drukowski, and I have made a vow to myself to help as many people as possible to achieve their dreams. Let's get started. Hey guys, and welcome to the I Love Success podcast. This is the podcast where I meet the coolest and most successful people on the planet and share their stories. Today is a really special moment because I'm actually in bed with a beautiful actress. And we're not just in any bed, but in the luxury bed of luxury beds, the Heston's Vividus. The Vividus is the result of centuries of passion for craftsmanship and passion for expert bed making. Heston's Vividus is a showcase of the finest natural materials, painstaking traditional handcraft and detailing. And to experience the Vividus, sleep is like touching a dream. Quite simply, it's the best bed Heston's ever made. Thank you, Heston's, for making this happen, and make sure to experience the Vividus at Heston's LA. During your private VIP experience, you'll be guided through Vividus construction, your personalized options, and immerse yourself in its tranquility. Visit HestonsLA.com for more info. Today's guest is an actress best known for her starring role in the CBS series, Pensacola, Wings of Gold, where she portrayed Lieutenant Alexandra Jensen opposite James Brolin for 2 seasons. Sandra left her home in Switzerland more than 20 years ago and came to Los Angeles to follow her dream of a career in television and film, and didn't have to wait too long. After a successful string of commercials, she got her first break as the Cave Nog in the Disney comedy Encino Man. Then came guest appearances on shows such as Lewis and Clark, Sequest DSV, and Highlander, before she made a name for herself by landing the lead role, Sonya Blade, in the box office hit Mortal Kombat Annihilation. She played Viper in the Marvel TV movie Nick Fury, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D., and guest starred on the hit show CSI and CSI New York, Shark, Psych, and Commander-in-Chief opposite Gina Davis, as well as having recurring roles on NCIS and General Hospital. She lives in Los Angeles with her husband, actor Michael Trucco, the dogs Sammy and Stella, and cat Tux. Her name is Sandra Hess. Welcome, Sandra.
Hi, Peter. It's quite an intro. Thank you.
Yeah, isn't it funny when people start talking about all the things you have done, you don't even think about it like that, but it's so many things that you have done, right?
Well, I guess so. You know, it doesn't seem like that to me, of course, but I think when I look back and when I hear you talk about it like that, then yeah, I mean, definitely it's a few things.
Yeah. So the first thing we're going to start with is move back all the way to Switzerland. You growing up as a little girl, can you just start talking about who were you as a little girl?
Like you said before, I grew up in Switzerland and I was an only child. I am an only child. And I think that I spent a lot of time by myself. And so one of the things that I occupied myself with as a child was stories. And I've always loved stories and storytelling. And so as I, you know, became a little older, then it became theater and movies. And I think I liked using my imagination to do things to play with, because probably I didn't have a sibling. And then that also went into the arts. And so I liked the artistic and the arts and movies and theater. And I always wanted to go to the theater. I dragged my mom, or she dragged me because I begged her. And so I sort of started building this dream of what I ended up doing professionally very early as a child, I think.
Do you recall when was the first time you actually thought about being an actress?
I can't exactly tell you how old I was. I don't remember. I just know that with the fascination of like the whole, you know, acting world and storytelling and all that, was also a fascination with America. And I remember distinctly sitting in my bedroom in Switzerland, pretending to be interviewed, like very much like what you're doing with me right now. I was pretending to answer questions that somebody was asking me, and I was pretending to speak English, which, of course, I had no idea how to speak English at that time because I was just a little kid. But I just, you know, knew little words like thank you and sorry and hello and things like that. And the rest I just made up. I just made up these words. But to me, it was English. And I was being interviewed about something. And so, I don't know, it just, I can't tell you how old I was, but it started pretty early.
Wow. I can totally relate to that, because growing up as a karate practitioner, my inspiration were Bruce Lee and Van Damme. So I had all my walls filled with posters, and I said, I'm going to go to Hollywood myself. My dreams changed for acting, but I think since I was 10, I said, I'm going to actually come here. And it took me almost 20 years, but I never gave up on that dream. And I know during the way, a lot of people say, you're never going to get there. You're never going to get there. But I'm here today, and I'm so glad just to have the honor of sitting here and talking to a person like you who have done the same journey, and you have even come much further than I am on my journey right now. So it's really great to talk about that. So do you know, you were fascinated by America. Do you know what point in life you actually decided that you're going to go here?
I think that... I remember when I finished school in Switzerland, we have a different school system than they do here in America. I looked into going to acting schools in Zurich, which is the town I'm from, and also in Germany. And it just didn't feel right to me. You know, again, I always had this fascination with America. Also, I have to say that my parents traveled with me as a child to many, many places. I had been to Africa and, you know, of course, as a European, you go to France and you go to Italy and you go to Spain and you go all those places. But I had never been to America. So that made it even more sort of the thing that I wanted, because I never had it. And so I remember that one of my best friends, Thomas, had lunch with me, and he was telling me that the bank that he was working with was sponsoring him to go to Los Angeles and go to UCLA for 3 months to do a language course. And as he was telling me that he was going to Los Angeles, I was just sitting there and just my eyes were just glowing and with desire, basically, and jealousy. And I remember going home that night and telling my mom about it. And that was just after I had graduated. And thank God she said to me, do you want to go too? Do you want to go with him? And that was just the magic words. That's all I needed, because that was what had been brewing for so long. And by her sort of, you know, saying that, she made it possible for me to finally do that.
So that was the first step you actually took. You had it in your mind for some time, and then you got the opportunity with your friend, and then you went, right?
And then I went, yes. And I never returned.
Then you land in Los Angeles, a young, beautiful woman, and here to pursue acting. Mm-hmm. So can you just walk us through, what was the first feeling or smell or idea that came across your mind? You're standing there on the airport, LAX, and you're 19 years old or something. What's going through your mind?
I thought that it was the most unbelievable place ever. I think you could have dropped me downtown in the middle of the slums and I would have thought it was the coolest place on earth. It was just my excitement and anticipation for this place had been so big. I mean, that usually you would say, if you are so excited about something and you build it up, then when you get there, it would be a disappointment. But it wasn't for me. It was the second I was here, I just knew that this was where I was supposed to be. It was just the weirdest thing, you know? And I felt at home right away. I didn't know. Well, that's not true. So I knew my friend Tom, who was with me, and I knew one other person, a very successful model, a guy who I had met on a plane once, and I had his phone number and his address, but that's it. I didn't know anybody. I you know, I spoke English, but it wasn't, you know, it wasn't like it's today or anything like that. And to me, it was it. It was amazing.
So let's talk about getting your first part. How did you get it? What did you do? Or maybe you want to start with when you started English class, acting class?
Gosh, I'm trying to remember what my first job was. I think my first job ever was Encino Man. I think so, yeah. I did this job. I played Encino. I was in Encino Man. I played the cave nog, and I didn't speak because I was a cave woman. But it was a pretty big Walt Disney studio feature, and it was so much fun. I became good friends with the director, and I was all dressed up in, you know, furs and dirt and big brown wig. And I remember my audition. I remember I went in for the casting director, and I was blonde, of course. And she said to me, listen, I really know that the director really wants a brunette for this. So I really like you, but I'm going to call you back for the director. But, you know, can you, like, go get a wig or something? And so I did. I ran out and I bought this crazy brown brunette wig, and I put on that wig, and I went in and I auditioned and I got the job. And that was one of the easiest jobs I've ever gotten. They're not all that easy, but that one was pretty easy.
So how many auditions did you have to go to until you got your first job?
That one was two, I believe. So that's what I'm saying. They're not all that easy, but that one, look, it wasn't a huge part. I was in the beginning of the movie and then in the end of the movie. But again, it was a big movie. And for me, you know, it was a nice thing to have on my resume, like a big Disney film as a first one.
So that was your second audition?
I think, what do you mean, my second audition?
How many auditions did you have to do until you landed your first job?
I think that was two, yeah, for Encino Man.
Wow, that must feel crazy, coming to the city and then you're going on one audition, you get a no, and you go on your second audition. Because I've heard stories of people...
Oh, no. Okay, so we misunderstood each other. So it took me two auditions to get that job, meaning I had to go in and then read for the casting director, and then I had to go in again and read for the director, and I got the job. But no, I had been out on other auditions, trust me, before, where, you know, there was no response, no callback, nothing. You just go in, you give all your, you know, you pour your heart out, you do your thing, and you don't ever hear anything back. I probably started going out on auditions a little too early, because, you know, you shouldn't go out when you're too green, because you don't want to. Oh my God, that's actually a funny story that I just remembered. I will tell you the story. At the time, there was a show on television, you're too young for it, it was called Cheers. It was a very, very famous sitcom.
I watched it.
You watched Cheers, yeah. And it was a very famous casting director who cast that show. And I had just taken headshots with a photographer, and the photographer used my headshot to advertise his photo studio. And he put that picture in Dramalog or something that's no longer around. And it said Dennis Trantum Studios. And it was just a photo of mine. And so this casting director saw my photo and called the studio and said, who's that girl? Can you please put me in contact with her? I want to audition her for Cheers. And I had never been to an audition before, ever. And I get this phone call that I'm supposed to go on this audition for Cheers. And I called that friend that I said that I had, that model. He was now also an actor. He was on a soap opera. And I called him up and I said, Clayton, I don't know how to do this. I've never been to an audition before. And he said, oh, it's just easy. You know, you prepare the lines and they will say their lines and you will say your lines. And that's it. And of course, that was very bad advice, because it's never about the lines. It's about the story. But I didn't know better because I was so green. And I remember I went on this audition and they called me in and I read that part like I read the newspaper. It was terrible. I had no feelings, nothing. I didn't put anything in it. I didn't know how to do this. And I remember this casting director just looked at me like I was crazy. And I could tell just by the way, you know, the vibe was in the room that was probably not a very good audition. But, you know, that's how you learn. You know, you have to fall on your face. And I went back later on for him when I was a little bit more experienced. So that was good.
What's the hardest parts of being an actress, you think?
The rejection, for sure. Because, again, you know, you can prep for something and really be connected with it and do a great audition, but it doesn't mean you're going to get the part. And I think that's the hardest thing, because it can eat you up, you know. And you know, it's so true, and those are all cliches, but it's true. It's like you're too fat, you're too thin, you're too blonde, you're too brunette, you're too pretty, you're not pretty enough, you're too young, you're too old. I've heard them all, and then you also get the part, you know. So it just depends, and it's really hard sometimes not to take these things personally, especially when you get really close. Let's say it's between you and somebody else, and you've knocked out a whole bunch of people, but then when you don't get that last step, you know, you question yourself, oh, I should have done this or I should have done that. And sometimes it really just doesn't have anything to do with you, or one of you, you know, has a little bit more hype at the moment. In this business, it's all about hype. And so you can't take it personally, but it's really hard sometimes not to.
So how do you handle rejection?
With a couple glasses of wine, is that wrong to say? You know, I think over time you get better at it, but it definitely puts you in a bad mood for a while. And sometimes, you know, I mean, there have been plenty of times in my life where I've been depressed, you know, for a couple days. But I do have one quality that I've always had, and I think that's been my blessing. I've been knocked down many, many times, but I always seem to get back up, you know. I like let myself have that disappointment, because I think you have to have it. If you feel it, you have to let yourself feel it. Because if you pretend it's not there, that's not good. So I let myself have the disappointment. I let myself be depressed for a couple days if I need to be. And then I kick myself in the butt, and I, you know, get back up and I move back on. And that's always worked for me, and it's always what I've done.
Yeah, I think that is pretty cool, because I can relate to that. As an athlete, you prepare for a competition, you do everything, and then you fall short, and it's like the wind goes right out of you, and you're in that hotel room, maybe in Paris or whatever, and you just crying. I did everything and I fell short. That feeling is so rough and so hard. But the funny thing is with life, I think if you love something, you're ready to take those hits and move forward. And once you land that job or you win a fight, or doesn't that feel really great?
Yeah, of course. My God, the feeling that you have when, oh, wow. I remember when I was told that, you know, I booked Pensacola, which, again, is a series that was on quite a long time ago. You're way too young to have seen it. But the excitement was so huge. I was beside, or actually Mortal Kombat even before then, because Mortal Kombat was a $35 million studio picture. And I had just landed one of the lead roles that, you know, they had been casting for months. And they saw hundreds of people for. So I almost fainted. I cried, I laughed, I screamed. And that one was tough. I think I had about 5 auditions for it. I had to go back 5 times. I had to do physical audition. I had to like show how athletic I was. I had to, you know, go meet with the producers, God knows how many times. I had to read how many times. It was nerve-wracking. And then when I finally got it, the excitement was just otherworldly, you know. It's like that release. It's like that thing that you work for all this time, and then you finally get it. It's very much like an athlete, actually, you know, what you just described.
Yeah, I bet that feeling must have been so great. Just, you did it, I'm finally here on a big set, actually doing what I love. How did that feel?
You have to pinch yourself constantly, you know. It's it was pretty amazing, you know, because it is everything that you always dreamt about. And then you're standing there, or, you know, I was standing there on a movie set with these people, and at these, I'm just now using Mortal Kombat as an example, but, you know, it's like in these beautiful locations all over the world. Like, we were shooting in London, in Wales, in Jordan, and in Thailand, a total of 6 months. And it's just, yeah, you just pinch yourself constantly, because who gets to experience this, you know? Who gets to do the stuff that I was able to do and got paid for it on top of it, you know? It's just, I'm incredibly grateful for those opportunities and experiences that I was allowed to have.
With that said, I just want to thank you so much for sharing your story here today. It means so much to me and to all the people around the world listening.
Thank you, Peter, for having me. It was my pleasure.
And thank you guys for listening in. And a big thanks to our sponsor, Heston's Beds Los Angeles, and that we had the opportunity to be in this amazing bed. Check them out at HestonsLA.com. And if you have any questions and comments, please email us at info@islesuccess.com. If you like this podcast, and I'm sure you do, share with your friends and family, because that's how we grow. And I told you in this podcast, I want to help a lot of people. So I need your help to share this.
Follow me on Twitter.
How can we find you on Twitter and Instagram?
I think I'm at Real Sandra Hess. Yes, that's right.
So follow Sandra, check us out, and have a great day, because we got to go. It's getting dark. Thank you.
Thank you.